Well, although we're talking about a sweet sound, and as you look at the front of your bulletin, it'll say, "Sing to the Lord." No greater sound to my ears a lot of times is to hear people coming to know the Lord. Thank you for that joy, Kayla. That is a beautiful thing, to come to know the Lord in a deep way, and that is in the heavens, the angels rejoice, and I just think that's such a wonderful sound to our ears as well, a sweet sound to hear that someone to place their trust in Jesus. Okay, well, I'm going to start right off. I want to make sure I've got enough time to finish today. I've got a few slides and a few things to go through. And so let's see a show of hands of everyone here that has the ability to play a musical instrument of some kind, any kind, okay? Quite a few of us. Okay, that fills the room up quite a bit. Quite a few of us can play a musical instrument. That's great. Okay, well, let's bring up a couple here. Who's all played the ram's horn? Anybody? Whoa, he's got one in the back here. Okay, whoa, wasn't expecting that. Okay, how about the lyre? That one's old school, huh? You don't see that one too often. Anybody with that one? This one's a little bit more popular, or more today's age, a harp. Yeah, no? See, my family bought one of those at my parents' place, and it's sort of like this one. It's not like the old school, like way back in the day, you know, really huge and long and luxurious. It's more like this one, a few little strings. It's little nylon. It's kind of more of a cheaper version of it, but they're really beautiful. Sound really good. How about the tambourine? We've seen this one. Who's all played that? Anyone? Yeah? Yes. Yes. Tambourine. Okay? It's like a flip phone. It's like, what is that? Like, do they still play those? Right? Dancers out there, anybody dance? Anybody, dancers? That's kind of, it's not a musical instrument, but we're going to go there later. But dancing, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Dance before him all the earth, you know? It's not really an instrument, but it's a way to praise the Lord. And how about a guitarist? I like this band. Does anybody know what band this is? Anybody? Citizen Way. So I really like this band, so I put those guys up here. As you can see through Psalm 150, 1 through 5, it talks about the stringed instruments and clashing cymbals and clanging cymbals. And, you know, it refers to that, you know, with our main verses. And I just think of those things. And in Psalms 101, our verses, our theme verses for the day, in Psalm 150, it shows us we can worship the Lord with song, dance, and instruments. And although we'll spend most of our time talking about how we can sing to the Lord and how we can give him praise, I figured I would show you some of these photos of these different instruments that have been in our history, and we've used them to worship the Lord and to sing praise to him and use them to glorify his name. But today's message is sweet sounds and the things that come out of us, the worship that we give God. Is it a sweet sound to him? And are we praising him? Is it sweet? So we'll be talking about the heart of worship, the benefits of the joy that comes from it as well. But before I get going too much, we'll just pray and then we'll continue. Lord, I thank you so much for today, and I thank you so much for the sweet sound that we can give you, God, this the praise that you are worthy of, God. I just pray that each one of us here today will give you the honor, the respect, and the glory that you deserve, God. You are omnipotent. You are an awesome God. And as we look through some of these verses and some of these slides, Lord, I just pray that it would impact our lives to want to know you more, and love you more, and have a sweet sound come to your ears as we worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I think it's vital in our walk with the Lord that we learn to praise him in song, and whether that be with our voice or with an instrument of some kind, but to really praise the Lord. And I got a question for you. Why do we sing praise to the Lord? It's a question for you. And maybe an answer is this: because it expresses our love and honor for him. And he is worthy. He is worthy, and it's the love. Psalm 66, 1 through 4, it says, "Shout joyful praises to God, all the earth. Sing about the glory of his name. Tell the world how glorious he is. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. Your enemies cringe before your mighty power. Everything on earth will worship you. They will sing your praises, shouting your name in glorious songs." We shout his name in glorious praise because we love him and we want to express how awesome he is. Our God is so good, amen? I recently watched this show. It's the God's Not Dead 3. God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. And it's like that phrase, and every time the movie, who's seen God's Not Dead 1? Yeah, and how about 2? And how about 3? They've got that line in there every movie. And it's just, you know, anytime I see that in the Word, that God is good, it just reminds me of that saying. Because I think so often we can, not a tangent here, but so often we can think, I don't feel like praising the Lord and singing to Him today because I just don't think He's that good today. I don't think He's been really good to me, you know? He is good all the time. Little do we know the things that He does in our lives and in the background and what He's setting up for later. Sometimes we just don't understand it. Bad things happen. We need to trust Him. He is good all the time. The more we sing to Him on a daily or weekly basis, the more natural it will become. Or sing praise or play to Him. And so I want us to think of this imagery today. So today, we all came to church and we worshiped the Lord. We sang to Him today. The band was up here. We played, we sang. What did that look like? I want to take a moment to think of us, for each one of us individually today. I want to take a moment and think when we sang or when we were reading the lyrics, were our hearts really tuned into God's presence? Were we really singing to Him? Were we focused on the presence of God, as seeking and searching for the heart of God and singing praises to Him? Or maybe we were thinking, what am I going to eat for lunch? Or, I had a hard day. This is a bad weekend. Why should I be here? I should be sleeping in. Or who knows what was going through our minds today? Or, this coffee really is good. I love the creamer that they got. This is great. So many thoughts can be going through our heads when we're praising or singing to the Lord. But what are we doing, right? I think it's important when we are singing praises to our King that we sing to Him with a mindset of adoration. I like this next photo. Picture this man praising the Lord. Oh Lord, You are my God. I will exalt You. I will praise Your name. For You have done wonderful things, plans formed of old, faithful and sure. He's just exalting Him, giving adoration, just connected to God, one-on-one, when we're here. Now, although there's distractions, I've got 4 kids. Who's all got kids? Yeah. And you're like trying to control them. You're trying to sing. You're trying to sing to the Lord the best you can. And you got this child that wants animal crackers. Right? Well, the Lord understands. But I think there's things like, and I'm going to go into some few more slides here. There's distractions that can get it to us as well, where we just feel like it's disturbing. And I would talk to Jesse, it's so hard to have the kids up here. I really just want to worship the Lord, and I want to sing to Him. And, you know, it's hard with the kids. I mean, cubbies aren't tonight, so today, now it's going to be harder. You know, I remember saying this, you know, a couple of years ago. And we have to realize that bringing our kids into that sense of worship, into that sense of worship, is really important. I like that we don't do that. Did you guys realize that we don't have King Kids and Cubbies about once a month? Did you guys know that? It's an awesome thing because you have the opportunity of bringing your kids up with you, singing praises to the Lord together. And you get to practice working with them, sitting quietly, listening to the message. It's just wonderful, bringing them through a whole service together once a month. We try and do that. Anyway, our God has done wonderful things. With this slide, you know, showing us He's done wonderful things. And we worship Him because we want to show appreciation for it. Our command when we worship Him is to worship Him with our heart and not with their lips. Isaiah 29, verse 13, I have this one. The Lord says, these people come near to Me with their mouth and honor Me with their lips, but their hearts are far from Me. Their worship of Me is based on merely human rules they have been taught. God wants our hearts to be filled with love, respect, and honor for Him as we sing praises to Him. And so this is where it kind of gets fun. I have a couple of memes talking about lip service. I found a meme that expresses a thought that might go through your mind during worship. And during worship and praise, or during praise and worship, what do I think I look like? What I actually look like? Okay? So make sure that I'm connecting with you on this one so you know where I'm headed with this. I think often we can be like Napoleon Dynamite, you know, not actually looking like that, but thinking, do I look like I'm praising the Lord well? Or, you know, we're so inward thought sometimes, or am I singing well enough? And I got a couple points. Sometimes we're so busy wondering what we look like, or what other people think we look like, or what we should be looking like, That way it becomes a distraction. And it goes directly against what God desires. Because it's not about us and what we look like or what we think we look like when we praise. But rather, it's what our worship looked like to God. Where's our heart? What does it look like to God when we praise him? It's a one-on-one connection when we sing praise to our God. It's a sweet sound that we want to give to God. Say, my worship to you today, I just pray that it is sweet, and I want to connect with you today. It's not, oh, I look good. And like the Napoleon Dynamite, he looks good, doesn't he? Sometimes we're so busy wondering that it's a distraction. But, or how about this one? I got this one from Tim Hawkins. Sometimes we're like, okay, well, let's see, if I praise the Lord like this, or maybe people will think I'm more, you know, spiritual. Or if I hold my hands like this, then they'll think I'm even more spiritual. Or if I hold them like this, they're going to think I'm sold out, you know? And believe me, it's not about that. But the Bible does encourage us. It does encourage us. I think I have verses for it. Yeah, Psalm 134, verse 2. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Lamentations 3:41. Let us lift up our hearts, our hands unto God in the heavens. It's a way for us to express our love. So it's not wrong at all. It's a beautiful thing to lift our hands, you know? Whether it's natural for us or not natural for us. You know, I remember thinking, well, in Scripture it says that we lift our hands, express the love. You know, sometimes it's hard sometimes to express love, right? I love Phil's prayer, express more love for one another. Sometimes it's hard for us to express love. You know, a man, when I first got married to my wife, you know, I loved her, but it's like, there's this connection. You have to express this love. You have to interchange and connect and communicate. And there's this, sometimes it's just a little unnatural. A man and a woman come together to be married. There's things you have to work out, you know, and things aren't always natural. And it takes work. Well, kind of like with raising hands, you know, when I first started raising hands, and you kind of come in and out of it, like kind of it's a natural thing. You're worshiping because you don't want people to think, oh, I'm more worthy of his praise, and I'm praising the Lord because I'm lifting my hands. So that's where I was for the longest time. I would raise my hands, and I would say, yes, Lord, I love you. You're so good. But then I'd be worried, like, what are other people thinking of me? Like, oh, he's a big shot. He thinks he's praising the Lord because he's raising his hands. You know, I used to think that. And I'm just like, I constantly have to wipe that clean and be like, me praising the Lord is me praising the Lord. And what other people think can be what they want to think. Because I love the Lord. And where the Scripture says I can lift my hands to him and praise, no matter what anyone else thinks or whatever, I want to praise him. So I want to lift my hands to him. So I just pray that today you guys can realize that's scriptural. You can lift your hands to the Lord. Have it be more natural. It may not feel natural right away. It might be like, oh, this is awkward. It's a little awkward for me. People are looking at me. I don't like this. You know, it's going to be that way. But you can overcome that. The more you practice and more you be comfortable with worshiping the Lord, it's a part of worship. Singing praises to him, lifting your hands in the holy place. There's dozens of scripture verses about raising your hands. Not just those. The next meme I want to show you, I had to keep my worship team at Cottonwood in check, and it was this one right here. I don't always play on the worship team, but when I do, I bring the house down, right? So sometimes we just get so into worship because it's our time to rock. It's our time to shine, you know? Back at Cottonwood, I had a band that used to play, and there would be young guys, they'd just be playing guitar, the electric guitar, and they'd just be rocking it. And they'd be like, yeah. And you could just tell them the focus shift just wasn't there. It wasn't on the Lord. It was like, yeah. Or they'd be like, you could just see it written all over their whole self. You could see it. I wasn't judging them. It was just where they were at, you know? And I had to keep saying, hey, guys, it's not about bringing the house down here. It's about your connection to the Lord. You're worshiping the Lord. And I kind of had to bring that back. Because in every band member's life, there's a time where it's like, yeah, I just want to play for me today. Or I just want to really play. I want to just have fun playing my guitar today or playing the drums and going all out. Or you just forget, like, oh, this is a time of worship for the Lord. And I had to bring them back to that. Times, there would be times where I had to tell them that and keep them accountable, but that's something we can think of. So a question I want to ask you today, and why don't we sing to the Lord more, you know? And it's a good question, you know? What's holding us back? Is it confidence in our singing? I remember there was this one Sunday, Eric, as amazing as he is, and he is so, what's the word? He blesses everybody. You know that about Eric. And he's so, what's the word? Generous. So generous. He bought a whole family snowboarding tickets. You guys remember the trip. Big Sky. We all went to Big Sky. It was amazing. He bought the tickets for all of us. We went to Big Sky, and it was my favorite trip snowboarding ever. And so when we get there, we're like, well, I thought to myself, what am I going to do about worship? Because Jordan is gone, I'm gone, Josh is gone, the whole band is gone. Who's going to lead worship? So then Eric and I were talking, and I said, hey, I'll just ask Peter, see if he could just lead. Maybe Peter could lead, and he could sing, and we could play music, and he could just kind of lead the people. And so I asked Peter, you remember Peter Steele, right? I said to him, Peter, yeah, what do you think? We're all going to Big Sky in a month. You think you could maybe lead worship? You kidding me? You don't want me to sing. No, let's figure out something else. And so I talked to my uncle, and Bruce came up here, and he helped us out. But sometimes, you know, what's holding us back? Is it a confidence thing? Sometimes we don't want to sing. Sometimes, like in a setting like today, right? We're all out here. We're all sitting in the pew, and we're singing to the Lord. Maybe we're singing. And what was one of the songs today? The fear one, Jordan. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer... And that's fine. You can whisper praises to him. It doesn't matter. It's beautiful. I'm serious. Whatever you can give to the Lord as praise and singing, it's beautiful to his ears. It's sweet. I'm not knocking that. And sometimes I think, well, is the music not loud enough? Because when we're at a lot of Great Commission church events, it's like, it's just blaring. Like when you're at Faith Walkers, yeah, you're singing and you can barely hear the person next to you singing. So you feel real confident, like, yeah, my singing is great. I can yell it to the rooftops. And this guy can't hear you, nothing. And you're singing and you're hitting bad notes and you're having a great time, you know? So I want to encourage you to find that sweet spot, find that encouraging thing. If we need the music louder, we can maybe bring it up louder, you know. I want you guys to know that you could feel comfortable in that. I think Peter was comfortable singing, but if the music was a little bit louder, maybe he was closer to the speaker, I think he'd be even more comfortable. But if that's you today, let's bring that up, bring it to our attention. We'll see if we can fix that for you. But anyway, that was just a little point I have. Off to the next slide. I think the next one is Psalm 100, verse 2. Going back before I share this point, nevertheless, God loves it when we sing to him. But he doesn't command us to sing to him for his pleasure, not just for his pleasure, but much more for ours. Much more for ours. We worship the Lord and we give him praise and we sing to him. Our faith is strengthened. Our lives in Christ is strengthened. Our love for him is strengthened. When our love for him is strengthened, our passion is strengthened for him. Our desire, and we want to lead our families and our... Everything is strengthened when we give our whole praise to him. So he wants us to praise him, not just for his glory and his pleasure, but to build us up as well. He doesn't need our love, our money, our obedience. He's infinite. He lacks nothing. But when we honor him through our love, through finances, our obedience, we are blessed, and our faith and joy grows stronger because of it. So Psalm 100, verse 2, worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy. I had a different point with this verse, but I switched it up because I wanted to go a different direction. So this is the next slide. Who all knows this next slide? Does anybody know who this character is? Okay. Life-changing character for me. Okay, somebody knew? You did? You do? You know who that is? Anybody else know who that book is? Eric knows. Salty the Singing Song book. Life-changing book, right? This changed my life. Jordan's too, I'm pretty sure. I was this tall, right? And I absolutely ran around my house screaming praises, loving the Lord. I grew up loving and singing and praising the Lord because of this song, a little songbook here. I didn't watch the movies. I didn't know the movies existed until like 4 years ago. They actually had movies too. But it was a tape my mom would put in. Look, cassette tape, right? That's still around. Click that in there, you push play. And these Bible verses, Bible stories, they would be coming out in the songs. Kids would be praising the Lord, singing praises to the Lord. Praise Him. Praise the Lord. Pray. And it would just lit me up as a child. Okay? If you have a grandchild, if you have a child here, you guys got to listen to this. It fuels your life right off the bat as a young child to sing praises to Him and get a heart of worship for the Lord, to love Him. And it just, the stories, and I mean, it doesn't have to be salty. Don't get me wrong. There's a lot of different things we all experienced as a child, you know, each one of us here that we've grown up on as well. But this is one that changed my life, and absolutely beautiful. Sooner you get them, our kids, we share it, we have salty, we have access to so many different devices now. You know, our TVs have ways to play, you know, or Spotify, you can just bring up any song you want, or there's Pandora, and there's this iTunes, there's videos you can bring up on YouTube. I mean, there's so many things you can bring up for your children that they can watch, they can grow, they can learn in through the Word and stories and Bible stories. And our kids, we push play on a Bible story every night. They calm themselves down, they listen to the Word or listen to music. It's all scriptural, it's all Bible-based. And it builds them up and it makes them think. And so the next day they're talking about, last night in the story, Jonah got swallowed by a whale. Yeah, buddy, he did. Why did that happen? And it gives me an opportunity to share with little Taven why Jonah got eaten by a fish. Right? And then how God delivered him and he spat him out. So for the adults, I have this next one. This is a simple one. For me, who all listen to this radio station? Yeah, like Life 97.9. It's great. Okay? Like I turn this on, and sometimes when I go to Thief River, it doesn't have really good reception, right? Sometimes we experience that. So who turns to this one? Boom! Your life, God's truth, your QFM. It's great. That's a 104.9. If that doesn't come in, 107.1, okay? These are opportunities for you guys to practice your singing. You can turn on the radio, find a song, learn the song, sing the songs. Fill your heart with praise. Fill your minds with God's word, God's truth. He loves you. There's so many awesome bands out there. I know all of us have some kind of a, you know, musical love in our lives. This is an awesome way to just tune in your heart, you know, while you're on break or you're in the car, filling your mind in with the Lord. You know, we need to sift through some of the music that we listen to, don't we? I'm going to kind of try and finish up here, but we need to sift through some of this music. There's a lot of bad music too, and I think we get kind of carried away with some of it sometimes, and we have to remember, I need to be filling myself with something that God wants me to listen to. And I got this next picture. It just kind of shows you kind of what comes in. And when we continue to have things come in as we listen to it, I think oftentimes we don't even realize the impact that it's making in our lives. But it really is. We don't know it. But when we're listening to scream, cussing music, or it just kind of is there, or maybe it's being played at work and some guy's playing it over his radio and he wants to play it, and it's got all this bad, non-glorifying music. Not, you know, it just, it's coming in. It's coming in. It doesn't have to come out, but it starts to just play on your mind and your heart, and it's just not good. But when we repeatedly listen to godly, life-breathing music and sing praises to our Heavenly Father, our hearts and lives are that much more tuned into the Spirit, and our love for God grows. So I got a couple things here, and then I'll ask the band to read this verse first. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. We have so much to be thankful for. And I know life's tough. It's tough. You know, life at home, maybe with the kids, you know, it seems out of control, or you're trying to teach them this or that, or maybe it's your job. Maybe it's stress with cancer. We brought cancer up today. You know, maybe you're dealing with a physical disability of some kind. And we're living in the flesh. This is our temporary home, you know. We talk about this all the time. And I just think it's just important to remember, through all of the negative, what are we filling up? What are we doing with the positive? Are we still able to have a good attitude about it and sing praises to the Lord? And, You know, I had a couple of slides, but one was about Paul and Silas. They were in prison, but yet they still sang to the Lord, even though they were in shackles, chained, just couldn't move. They were bound up. David, cast out by his own son, Absalom, you know, tossed to the wilderness to fend for himself, you know, found a cave. He still worshiped the Lord. He still wrote a lot of the Psalms, Psalm 95. You know, just thinking about some of those things, just there's a lot of things that can happen, but still we can give him praise. And so I just want to close with this. Our title today was Sweet Sound, right? In and then when I first thought of this topic today, I thought of the song, I Love You, Lord. Has anyone ever heard of that song? We'll bring the lyrics up. You might recognize it. It's just an old, I can't remember the year, if it has 1871. It's kind of blurry, 1878. It's an old hymn. Old song. I want us to sing it today, you know, and then I'll pray, and then I'll have the band come up. It just when we sing it, just sing it to the Lord, okay? If you don't know it, just follow along. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Lord, I thank you so much for today. And I thank you so much that we can be a sweet sound to you, God. And I just pray that our focus would be to give you praise. God, you are so worthy of it. God, you are so good. When we look at the lyrics to this song, we lift our voice to worship you. Oh, my soul rejoices. Lord, we literally get filled with joy when we give you praise because you give us that joy. Take joy in that, God. May our sweet sound bring glory to your ears. May be it sweet. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, you can stand for closing worship.